The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Bastards of Boston Baseball. Coming at you, you're going to be listening to your second hot takes with your Bastards of the Year. We're going to call this one round two. I'm your host, Charlie Clean Record, because I still haven't gotten sued yet. You can find me on Twitter/X at Smith_MLB. My co-host for this fine episode are going to be Dougie Sunshine at DHSN23 and Chris Filico, aka the Italian Stallion, saved by grace with no E in saved. So, gentlemen, it's been one hell of a ride. No Italian Stallion joke pun intended, but here we are. This has been anything but the year that any Red Sox fan was hoping for, but here we are. So, hot takes. Chris, why don't you lead us off? What did you find to be the hottest take so far?
I don't know if it's the hottest take, but it's a pretty hot one by Matt Ryan. Looks like at mryan_10. Package Duran, Arias, and Bayo for Tatis. Where this gets a little bit dicey for me and why I think it's such a hot take is, number one, I don't necessarily know if Fernando Tatis is going to fix anything. He's batting like .242, no home runs, only 8 RBI, 16 hits on the season.
Wow.
However, I do have confidence he will get out of this. However, we couldn't even pull off a trade for Ketel Marte. And we offered, at least what it seems like we may have been rumored to offer, was more than what you would be offering based on Matt Ryan for Fernando Tatis. Fernando Tatis Jr. is a younger player, much more well-established long-term, although he does carry a much higher price tag. It looks like Fernando Tatis is signed through 2034 with an AEV that just keeps climbing through 2034, whereas Ketel Marte, I believe, signed a 6-year extension last year, so it's been 5 more years. He's a little bit older. So I don't know if Duran, Arias, and Bayo would get it done. I would do it in a heartbeat, for the record. But what do you guys think? Do you even think that would be remotely possible? I think it would take a lot more.
Dougie?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I would do it from the Red Sox point of view, because I think that's probably a steal, right? Like, that seems pretty crazy. It doesn't seem like – I mean, I don't know why the Padres would want to do that. I don't know how that makes them any better at all. That would have to be like they're trying to blow it up, or Tatis isn't liked in the locker room type of move. But yeah, from our point of view, I mean, yeah, send that. I would do it in a heartbeat, like you said, for sure.
So I posed something to the Bastards earlier today, and I think it's pretty far-fetched because of the injury history as well about Mike Trout. But I find this one to be interesting for Matt Ryan for a couple of reasons. One, everyone's been talking about Arias. We have an incredibly depleted farm system. Duran is giving the finger salute to fans in the stadium that are making inappropriate comments, which all three of us are aligned. None of us blame him for that. So if you're opening your mouth and acting like a complete fool and an ass, yeah, you're going to get the salute. And I couldn't care less about it. I think if Bayo turns the clock back to where he recognizes that he's not a power strikeout pitcher, he's a sinker first, cutter, changeup second, third pitcher, you're probably going to go 6+ and strike out 3 to 5 guys, as opposed to going 4 or 5 and striking out 9 or 10. That's just not his game, and he needs to recognize how his game is. That said, the reason why I wouldn't do that is because, one, Tatis has already had the allegation. He's already been accused of taking something he wasn't supposed to take. That didn't go his way. He was gone for a specific amount of time. You harped on the fact he's had no home runs. I think that also will turn around. his bat would be really sweet at Fenway. Still relatively young. They have team control until, you said 2034? Okay. So you still have 2034. Okay. So after this year, you still have what, 7-8 years after that, which is great. You'd have a cost, you know, I don't know what contracts are going to look like in 2028, 29, 30, what players are going to be getting. So for the value, Tatis could be worth it. The Padres were also bleeding money and desperate to get out of their debt. The fastest way to do that is to trade Tatis and or trade Xander, but neither one of them, I think, are going to be able to be moved, because if you're the Padres and you trade one of those two guys, you're essentially selling your fans, you're done. Like, you're not actually serious if you trade one of the big, you know, the two-headed monster, for the lack of a better term. They've already lost one of their starting pitchers. Some of their relievers are coming back, and they still have a absolutely lethal bullpen that can throttle you sideways. But all in all, I don't think it's going to get done. We were not able to make any proper moves during the offseason with proper assets. And I just don't think that the Padres are all of a sudden going to be like, oh yeah, sure, we'll trade Tatis, because they also have to be willing to dance with us on that one. And there was rumors about Jaron Duran, done deal to San Diego, and I'm really glad that didn't happen. And all in all, I think if Bayo can figure it out and turn the clock back, I think we'd be way overpaying for that to get Tatis, because we really don't know what happens if in 3 years he's done. Next year, there's possibly no baseball, and you're getting rid of a major farm system piece, one of the fan favorite leaders in Jaron Duran, and someone who can turn himself into a number two, assuming things go well and he can, you know, get better again. I think that's all I would add to that one.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point. I mean, I'm a big Bayo guy, so.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree. Yeah,
for sure. Dougie, why don't you hit us with your hot take?
Yeah, next one. Let's see. It's from Ryan Hanley at Ryan Sox Fan 99. Red Sox finished the month in the top wild card spot, and a 9-game win streak is loaded. That's hot. That is a hot take. Even for me, that's a hot take, but I love it. I love to see some positivity on Red Sox Twitter right now, because there's not a lot of it. So I like where this guy's at with the wild card spot, because we're right there, right? I think we're 2 games out of a playoff spot right now. And the reality is, we talked about it last night. Like, it was like last year, the AL is not doing themselves any favors right now, because no one's playing well. And even with this terrible start, we're nowhere close to out of it in any sense. We're really not. And if they turn it around, a 9-game win streak is very bold. I can't remember. We had a 10-game last year. Right, when Sedan hit that walk-off before the All-Star break, right? Wasn't that 10?
I can't remember how many it was, but I remember Sedan. Yeah, Sedan had it was a game-winning home. Wasn't it a home run?
Yeah.
It was a game-winning home run.
The last game before the All-Star break. I think
I'm going to check right now. I'll check right now.
I feel like we went 10 games, but
I'm not sure if we hit double digits last year. I know we hit a 10 or 11 the season before, right before the All-Star break.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. All right, but, I think this team is capable of that. I don't know if it's loading right now with the series we got coming up, with the couple series we got coming up, but I think if we find our footing and we win a couple series, and then later, in a month or two, if we really find our footing, then I think a 9-game win streak could definitely come. But, I like Ryan Sox fans' take. What do you guys think?
The first part of the take isn't that wild, right? Like, to be in the second wild card spot, as you alluded to, Doug, this early in the season, with everyone being super mediocre in the American League, like, all right, I could buy that. Wouldn't really take much with the way everyone's playing.
Right.
A 9-game win streak. That is absolutely wild. Like, you're wearing a Celtics hat. I mean, they're like the third best odds to win the NBA championship. I don't even think they won 9 games in a row this year. and that's with teams tanking. So I could see them maybe maybe winning three or four. Beyond that, it's very hard to imagine the Sox winning more than that. They just don't have enough. There's not enough consistency with the rotation right now, with the bullpen and the lineup. And you would say, win nine games in a row, you need all three of those things, or at least two of them, fire on absolute all cylinders. And I don't see it. I don't.
So Dougie was right. It was 10 games, and that's how we closed out the first half of 2025. Right. So yeah. Dougie yeah. Sunshine strikes again, doing what he does best, being positive. I think if you look at where the team was last year, who was on the team last year, the leadership that was there to assist the team last year, you don't have A, B, C, D, all the way to P. You're missing so many pieces there. And so for that reason, this is like to the sun hot if you think you're going to win nine in a row. And crazier things have happened, right? We've all seen Major League and they ended up making the playoffs and they did great. That's a movie and it's not real life. The Boston Red Sox right now also lack, I think, that added firepower and level of consistency that is necessary in order to dominate. Now, for the next month, if you look at the schedule, I've mentioned this multiple times before, and several of our other hosts have referenced it too, we do not have the most fun schedule headed our way. Now, there are injuries. That's also kind of helped us, if you want to look at it that way, in the sense of, you know, other teams are dealing with injuries and whatnot. That still doesn't make up for the fact that other teams that we're going to be facing have absolutely started to catch fire. You know, Philadelphia, we're facing three there. Kyle Schwarber's hitting home runs. He's going crazy. Kansas City's starting to light it up. They're doing great. Cleveland today almost had a no-hitter from Parker Messick, and he's going to be in one of the series towards the end of next month. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that need to go right in order for us to do well. And part of that game also means you're going to have to be damn near perfect. And that means minimizing the errors. That's really hard with Trevor Story at short. No disrespect to him, because I love Trevor Story. I'm super happy that he's been able to do what he's done. But the fact of the matter is, mistakes do happen. And when you make mistakes and they compound and you don't score enough runs and you don't keep runs off the board, you're going to lose the game. That's obvious, right? And the Red Sox are not at a place where, at least, I don't want to speak for all three of us, but I don't think the Red Sox are in a place at a comfortable place where they're going to be able to consistently do that for nine games in a row, at least not right now and not through the end of May. If there's a you know, 2-3 cupcake series where maybe we can kind of bookend it with like a win on a tough series and then a couple of cupcakes and then a win in a hard series again, then maybe you get your 8-9 again. But I don't think we're going to see double digits this year. It's definitely not going to be for the Red Sox. And it's no disrespect. It's just that we can't compete with some of the other teams that are there because they've invested the money. The money has been invested well, and we've invested the money and it's gone not well. And again, that's a recipe for no success. So that'd be great. Hottest take I think we're probably going to hear tonight, but I don't know if it's going to happen. Anything else you guys want to add?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. That's the only way this is any chance is further into the season, get a favorable couple series in a row.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So our third hot take comes to us from Chris Wolf at Our Sox Watcher. The Red Sox will be mathematically eliminated from the playoffs come July 1st. So first off, Chris, thank you so much for your hot take. We always appreciate our fans writing to us. Dougie Sunshine struck earlier and was saying about how the Boston Red Sox are not out of it right now. We are four games out. We find ourselves 7-11. We're able to get a win back on the board. Tampa Bay has surged. They're now 8-2 over their last 10. They've got a 6-game win streak. They're tied with the Detroit Tigers for the hottest streak right now in the American League. In the National League, you've got the Dodgers doing Dodgers things. The Padres have also surged. They've got a 7-game win streak. So, you know, I'll say this much, right? No, are we completely out of it? No. But if Tampa Bay goes off on 6 or 7-game heaters, it's going to end pretty quickly. Now, I want to go over this pretty quickly as well. So Red Sox finish the month in the top wild card spot. Red Sox will be mathematically eliminated from the playoffs come July 1st. So if we're going to just talk about the wild card right now, The Boston Red Sox are the third worst team. We are 2.5 games out of a wild card spot. What else do you want to know? We would have to jump Detroit, who's won 6 in a row, the Angels. Mike Trout just set the record for the most home runs as an opposing player at Yankee Stadium in a series ever. That just happened. So Anaheim's starting to heat up at the right time. Baltimore, they're starting to do better. I know they've had a losing streak, but I feel better about them. Seattle has been a really weird situation. I don't understand what's going on with them. I think they will turn around. Houston is old, and I think outside of a couple players on their team that are carrying, they're not where they probably should be. Toronto, we already know they're dealing with a couple of injuries. But the reason why I think this is a hot take, but not realistic, again, to go over this one, when we talk about, I think it's realistic and possible, probable, by July 1st, it might actually come sooner than that, guys. Because the fact of the matter is, if you look at the schedule, again, we're facing Detroit for 4. That's starting tomorrow, followed by 3 in New York, 3 at Baltimore. You have 3 against Toronto. Maybe there's an opportunity to take a series there. You got Houston. Then you've got Detroit, probably going to face Tarik Skubal because our luck has just been fantastic. 4 against Tampa, 3 against Philly. We don't really have any cupcake series for over a month. And so I don't think we're going to be able to not only make up the 4-game difference that we're out, we're going to continue cascading down, especially if the starting pitching doesn't get better and we're not able to consistently score minimum 5 to 6 runs a game. Why? Because if you're allowing 6 runs, there's a 75% chance you haven't scored 6 runs, you're going to lose that game. Last year, going into, I forget the date, but it was the Milwaukee Brewers series when we lost the game, and I said, calling it, grand slam for, I think it was Christian Yelich, and he hit it off of the Australian reliever that's no longer playing baseball anymore, who had the heart issue. What's his name? Former Athletic, Liam Hendricks. And we had lost at the time the most 1-run ball games in baseball outside of the Chicago White Sox. So to your point, the Red Sox will be mathematically eliminated from playoffs come July 1st. Mathematically eliminated? I don't know. Eliminated, more than likely. Because the Boston Red Sox don't strike me as a team that are going to nut up and get the players that they need in order to get this over the line. We traded Devers. We didn't re-sign Alex Bregman. We got Ranger Suarez, but that wasn't the name that all of us wanted during the offseason. So, yeah, I think this is going to be kind of like a disappointing season. But mathematically speaking, I can't say yes to that unless other teams absolutely surge. And I don't know if that's also going to happen because injuries are part of the game. They might also hit some, crap streaks. I do think, however, that the Red Sox are not going to get a wild card, and I don't think that they're going to be making the playoffs. Like, it's just not going to happen. We're not a lethal team. I'll leave it there. Dougie, let's go with you, and then we'll finish up with Chris.
Yeah, I'm not going to – I definitely cannot say that they're, definitely a playoff team. I don't think that. But I do think they'll be fighting for the wild card all season. I don't think they'll be out of it by July. I don't know how it will end up, with the teams. Like you said, maybe a team surges, maybe a team gets hurt. I don't know, but I think they'll be in that spot, maybe the third, fourth, kind of fighting for that second wild card spot all season. And maybe, like you said, maybe not mathematically, maybe they'll be out of it by July, but I think that's a little too soon. I think we're better than that. I don't know if we're better, good enough to be a playoff team, but I think we're good enough to at least fight for that last play wild card spot all season long into September.
Yeah, as far as mathematically eliminated, it would be almost impossible. I don't think we can mathematically be eliminated. We'd have to be 30, 40 games out to be mathematically eliminated. But to both your point, realistically eliminated, that's a whole nother conversation. I could see us entering July somewhere similar to where we were 2 years ago, where it feels like we're in it. Although 2 years ago, we were on that hot streak going into the trade deadline. So there was hope. I think we were 10 or 11 games above 500, and then the bottom fell out as soon as the trade deadline passed. I could see us being within 4 to 5. But the truth is, 4 to 5 out of the third wild card, like you're not making the playoffs realistically, especially with as mediocre as this has been. Because to your point, Charlie, I think there's teams that are about to take off that we expected to be better than they are now. But on the flip side of that, I do think there's probably teams like the Twins, the A's that we didn't expect to take off that are going to come back to earth. And that's what is going to keep us in it. And 4 to 5 for most teams, you're like, all right, 4 to 5, you can make that up. All it takes is 2 good weeks, a stretch of baseball, and you can catch guys. But not with this team. 4 to 5 games out of it, especially from the third wild card, I just don't see them making it up at that point. So if they're somewhere between 4 to 5, which I think is a realistic number, I don't know if they're able to overcome that. Because if you're 4 to 5 to that point, that means you're just lacking consistency, which is the problem now. And I don't see all of a sudden July 1st, you're going to have a major, you know, trade deadline. All of a sudden that's going to get us out of it. That would be the only thing that could. And I don't see it happening.
So I'll say one more thing. And this is as a feeling for the Red Sox. And I want to echo what one of our commenters, Glenn, has written. Glenn writes, Henry shooting for third wild card. Get used to it. If any of you guys follow international football, if you guys watch soccer, there's Premier League in England, and there's a team called Arsenal. Arsenal, statistically speaking, their goal has always been get to the top four. And there's a reason for that, but I don't want, as an Arsenal fan, I don't want to be fourth. I want to be first. It's been a long time since we've been first, and we're there now. And every single time, there's always like, okay, we get so close, we get to third, we get to second, and then we tail off, and then we fall into fourth. And if you look at it, statistically speaking, Arsenal regularly finished fourth, and that was good enough. When good enough is, right? And for a couple reasons, that's just not going to do it for the Boston Red Sox. The fans demand more, we expect more, we want more. It's been a while since we've been to the show, and it's been a while since we've won one. I know there have been some teams that have never won it. But the Boston Red Sox can't be put into the same bucket as some of the teams that haven't been there, that don't invest the money. This is the Boston Red Sox. This is one of the most storied franchises in professional sports, full stop. You cannot afford to be the owner, the face of the face of baseball, or one of the faces, because you used to be the Yankees, used to be the Red Sox. Dodgers might have been in the conversation, but not really, because they weren't always a lock in the playoffs. The Braves in the 90s were one of those teams. But right now, the faces of baseball, you got the Yankees. The Blue Jays in Canada have the entire market for that country. The Los Angeles Dodgers, the Phillies, the Braves, the Cubs. The Red Sox aren't even top five right now. And honestly, if you think about it, Mariners are probably there. Houston is there. You know, the people that, you know, can't spell their name right in Houston, just kidding. But you know what I'm saying? Like, you've got these franchises and fans that have an expectation because they're willing to do what needs to be done, and they're going to get their teams there. The Boston Red Sox aren't even top 10. Like, valuation should mean something. So for those that were like New York Knicks fans, that must have sucked. If you're a basketball fan and you're a Knicks fan, you have one of the highest valued teams. Like, you should be winning. You should be putting a lot of money into that team. And you might be, you might not be, but the results still aren't reflecting that. For the longest time, the Knicks were a joke. That's where the Boston Red Sox are right now. I kind of feel like people look at us and, you know, they look at us as a joke. Like, no one looks at us on the calendar and says, oh, beep, we have to face them for 3 or 4 games. It's like, oh, great, you know what? We're facing the Red Sox. Let's see if this guy from AAA can hang. That's kind of how I feel right now. That's the expectations that it feels like we're going to be headed, like, in that direction. Anything else you guys want to add? Yeah.
I got to be honest. When you make the comparison to the Knicks, I can actually argue that the Red Sox are worse, and here's why. Because even in the midst of the Knicks being the Knicks for 25 plus years, you can't say it was from a lack of effort. They were always willing to spend the money. did spend a lot of money. It wasn't on great players. We're always after the big free agent. They just didn't want to sign with them for obvious reasons. The effort was there. They just couldn't get out of their own way. The Red Sox aren't even trying. Like, I respect the fact that the Knicks tried. They failed, but they tried. The Red Sox, you can't say are trying. And you look at the same pattern you mentioned Arsenal. Look at Liverpool. They do the same thing the Sox have. They win a championship. Then they disappear for a couple of years. They're not even competitive, like the Sox. And then they'll go and they're going to win the English Premier League probably in like 2028 and then disappear for another 4 or 5 seasons. And I mean, it's a sad state of affairs for the Fenway Sports Group.
So this is something. Go ahead.
That's true. But imagine being a Knicks fan. Yuck.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That also sucks.
Horrible.
Are you a Knicks fan?
No, I'm a Celtics fan.
Okay. I wasn't sure. All right. I'm good. I knew I had a hunch, but I didn't want to assume. So, okay, good. But the Red Sox, I mean, you think about like the Bobby V era, right? We were going through some rough, rough times. We were like second. We're always like second best, like the always a bridesmaid, never the bride, kind of that feeling. And then we went to the bottom. And that's kind of how it was after, you know, the World Series. We were in fifth place in the division. We win the World Series. Back to the basement for a couple of years. Then we're top of the division again for a couple seasons. Then it's third, fifth, second. We haven't been better than third since 2021. So it's been 4 years, 5 years that we've been even like relevant, right? We're just not there. Your winning percentage, yeah, might be above 500 over the course of like 5, 6 years. That's embarrassing. You should be doing so much better than that. Why are you not caring enough? 2020, the COVID year, we went 24-36. We were 12 games under. We were in last place. Since, including 2020 and 2026, granted, it's a limited sample size. It hasn't completed. From 2020 to 2026, 7 years, we have found ourselves in last place 4 of those 7 years. Third place twice. Only once did we do better, and that was in 2021 when we finished in second and we lost in the ALCS. That's how relevant the Boston Red Sox have been. We are not even the bridesmaid. We're not even the doorman. That's how bad we are, you know, or our record is. And it's bleep needs to change, and it needs to change quick because heads are going to start rolling and people are going to start looking for other jobs. It's going to be that bad. Anything else you guys want to add to that hot take? Chris, I think there was one more that you had before we can maybe explore a couple that we've got in the comments.
So I had one, but our friend Randy at Boston Randy actually just came in with a surprise one a couple of minutes ago that is even wilder than the one I was going to talk about. So thank you, Randy, fan favorite. If there's no marketed improvement by Memorial Day, these players will be gone by the trade deadline. Story, Mayer, Chapman, Gray, Yoshida, if his batting average hovers around 280 or higher. I mean,
cleaning
I don't
house.
Even, that is absolutely hot take.
Randy's cleaning house.
Yeah, I mean, Randy, if you could find someone to take Yoshida, God bless your heart. But I mean, Story, Mayer, Chapman, Gray, I mean, why not just sell the team? That actually might be a less hot take at this point. Randy, I love you. And while I would not be opposed to half of this trade, I don't necessarily see it, especially if it's a lack of a marketed improvement by Memorial Day. Because, I mean, let's face it, I don't expect there to be a huge improvement by Memorial Day. That's only, what, a month away? So God bless your heart, Randy. I don't see it, although I wouldn't necessarily be opposed to all of it.
Dougie.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely, I mean, and if it's as bad as, you know, if it does get that bad, I definitely won't be opposed to, you know, any of it except probably Mayer. I don't think, you know, trading him is smart, no matter how this season goes. I think he's a stud. But other than that, yeah, I mean, if it's going to hit the fan, then cleaning house, I don't think anyone would really bat an eye at it. You know, I don't think that's obviously going to happen. I think that's pretty, you know, pretty far-fetched. But you know, it's a hot take, like we asked for. So I appreciate Randy, giving it to us. But I just, I don't see it. I don't see, you know, maybe a few of them. You know, if it gets to that point, people will get moved. So if it gets to be super bad, then some of those guys definitely will be moved.
Here's the other thing. So we talked about the schedule's ugly for a month. After that point, you've got a couple of games left. You've got a series with Minnesota, who that could go either way. I don't know how you guys feel about Minnesota. Then you have Atlanta. I don't like that series. Cleveland, I just talked about it. And it closes out with the 29th, 30th, and 31st of May at Cleveland for three games. Memorial Day isn't that the 31st of May? I think, right? Okay, great. So you're closing out the month of May with possibly losing two out of three, depending on who they put up. Yeah, that's going to be, again, one of the hottest takes you're going to see on there. So coming from our very own Randy Clemens over there, thank you so much, at Boston Randy. Story gone. I don't know what the market is for somebody like that. Marcelo Meyer, I am curious to know what the market would be. If we're really out, I guarantee you Chapman would be moved because they're going to try to recoup some assets for someone who's, you know, he's an aging all-star reliever who throws 102 yeah. miles an hour. And last year he had the season of his life, arguably one of the best relieving months ever, where I don't believe he allowed a base runner for an entire month.
Yeah.
Was it August, right? August or July? It was absolutely mental. It was mental. It was the most automatic could be. You come out, you face three batters, and that's it. And that's what happens. When somebody like that blew a save, I'm like, all right, cool, wow. You know, lightning could strike twice in one place, and that's kind of like what happened there. But I still would put all my money on Chapman in the ninth inning if he comes in. Even now, he obviously isn't replicating 2025 all over again, but he's still somebody I trust. So Sonny Gray, I don't think that's as realistic because he's got a dumb amount of money that's owed to his, you know, 2027 for the buyout. And I know the Cardinals are paying for like a bit of that, but I don't see that happening. Yoshida, yeah, I'd buy you something really pretty for Christmas if that ends up happening, and I don't see that as realistic. There have been a couple of fun comments in here. And one of them that came from Jules earlier was that Conley will win 12 with a sub 3.4 ERA. This is coming from Jules. So Conley early will win 12 with a sub 3.4 ERA. I'm glad you're wanting him to stay because our very own Jeremy, God bless him, thinks that he would be a perfect piece to ship out. And he still feels that way. He doubled down when I last chatted with him. I would never say that to his face because he's really tall and big. And I just, intimidating. I'm just kidding. But yeah, I wouldn't trade Conley early. I think he really is one of the future pieces here in the rotation. It just doesn't make sense. And he really could be special. I don't know how great he could be, but I'm not willing to risk it because I want that feeling that we had surrounding Brian Baio to come for this kid too. And then maybe we get lucky with one of either him or Tolley, but maybe Conley early. But either one of you, Dougie, if you want to go first, do you think Conley early's got a chance at 12 with a sub 3.4?
Oh yeah. Early's got the stuff. I think 12 wins might be tough just based on our offense. You know, if our offense is going to support him, then I think he definitely has the stuff to get to 12 wins, and I agree with the ERA part of it, because that he can control. But the 12 wins, he can't control as much. You know, he has some say in it with how he's pitching, but he still needs support. So 12 wins, you know, I think I'll agree with Jules. I think he can get to 12. I think he'll be sub 3.4, and you know. Conley Early's got that stuff, baby. He's a big league guy. It's shining bright.
It's really sunny over here, so it was real hot over there. Chris, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I think that's a pretty good take. I would agree. I think the 12 part, not that it's wild, it's uncertainty just because for all the reasons we said. The lineup, I just don't know, is going to give him the run support. Is he deserving? Does he have the potential for 12 based off of what he has and the stuff? Absolutely. And if he was on a good club, I would even venture to say that like 12 might be too low. He's probably 15 plus if he just has a slightly above average offense in front of him on a day in, day out basis. The 3.4 ERA, I do agree somewhat 100% within his control. I do think he will be sub 3.4. The interesting thing that I do want to ask you, though, Charlie, is there, like, would you just not trade Connolly early for anyone? Or is there a player out there that you would trade him for?
I would not trade Connolly early. That's how much of a prize possession. You're going to get bit on certain moves, right? We have gotten bit on every single one. I want to believe that Connolly early can be that guy. Here's another thing. We have done a bang-up job with our prospects, saying they're not good enough, they're not working out in our system. Take Tibbs, for example, who's hitting the moon with 8 home runs in 13 games, hitting like an OPS of like 19. It was asinine how crazy his numbers were. Like, video games couldn't make it that real, right? He's doing well in a struggling situation. I get it. It's a pitcher and they're not dealing with, you know, any of the offensive metrics or anything like that, but we haven't been a great team collectively, even with our farm system. What else do you want to know? Garrett Crochet has only allowed less than 2 runs once. Connolly early has allowed 1 run, 1 run, 2 runs, and 1 run. Only 2 of those games was he eligible to receive the win. We've only been able to generate more than 3 runs of support for him once this whole year. For a rookie, that sucks. That's like Brian Bayo when he started. He came up because it wasn't like we wanted him to come up. It was a need. We didn't have a starter, so Brian Bayo had to be thrown into the rotation. Connolly Early is a guy, and people can disagree with me. That's totally fine. You can say whatever you want. At the end of the day, you're going to have to put your foot down on some names. You're going to have to say that some people are just untouchable. Could you imagine if the Detroit Tigers were like, you know what? Yeah, Tarik Skubal, he didn't. And yeah, I'm not. You're comparing Connolly Early to Tarik Skubal. But imagine if they had done it. The New York Mets discarded Pete Crow Armstrong like he was nothing. He was nothing. That was one of the worst trades that the Mets could have done. Pete Crow Armstrong will become a 40-40 guy multiple times over as a member of the Chicago Cubs. Do I think Connolly Early can win 20 games in the future? It would certainly help if you could get a proper bit of offense behind him. But given that he's given up a total of 5 earned runs in 19 and 2/3 innings, he's averaging more than a strikeout per 9. Barely, but still he's there. He's got a 2.29 ERA through 4. He hasn't gotten rocked yet. He hasn't gotten blown up yet. It's going to happen. Every pitcher does. Garrett Crochet had the worst start of his career. Very few pitchers give up 10. But if you watch that game again, I actually watched it twice. It was almost like he was tipping pitches, but I don't know how he was doing it. Like, I don't think he was tipping it. I think the odds, as ever low as they possibly could be, either they figured him out or it was a combination of they figured him out kinda and they just hit it on the button every single time. Those guys aren't superstars that like ripped up Crochet. They have not been able to rip up Connolly early, who does not have a 6 or 7 pitch arsenal. So yeah, I will say, 1, I would not move Connolly early. 2, I think he could be one of the futures, and I will not move him. We have gotten bit on every single move we've made so far. You look at Kyle Harrison, you look at Quinn Priester. They weren't rookies, but we still never gave him proper chances. Harrison never got a chance in Boston. Quinn Priester got one start. It was 5 innings. He gave up a couple hits, maybe a run. I can't remember the numbers, but he got one chance combined between those two guys that are both playing for Milwaukee right now. 1 start in Boston. Unacceptable. And you guys, I don't have to go over the fact that we traded Chris Sale again. It's not applicable in this situation. But we just bungle moves left and right. We can't even sign anybody that we need during the offseason. No disrespect to Ranger Suarez. That wasn't the person that anybody prioritized. But yeah, Connolly early, I really think he can be special. I think he could be someone that you're going to be like, oh, thank God we didn't get rid of him in the future. 12 wins, yes, it's possible. Especially if you're allowing 1 or 2 or 3 runs a game. I think that definitely can be done. You should be able to generate 3-4 runs of support. 2 of those games that he played in, if you look at his numbers, they lost, actually 3. 3 of his 4 appearances, they have lost 3-2. They got him 2 runs of support. That's it. So yeah, and he didn't register the loss, which means that if you look at it on paper, it wasn't his fault that they lost. He might have allowed a run. Maybe they were tied. but somebody else blew it. And it could have been Weissert, it could have been another reliever, it doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is, he theoretically could be 2-0 if we'd given him a decent amount of support in the first game of the season or his first appearance. And then he did get the win in yesterday when we played. So 2-0, he should be 2-0. Unfortunately, he's 1-0 with a sub 2.5 ERA. If you have a sub 2.5 ERA and you're able to get almost, five innings there, I'd be shocked if you didn't get the win. It's disappointing if you can't get the win because you've done more than half of the work. The expectation now moving forward for Conley early, minimize damage. Don't throw waste pitches if you can afford it. He's been doing a great job of minimizing the damage, so that part's done. But get 5-6 innings if you can.
Yeah, he's a stud.
Would you trade him for Skeens?
It's moved. The Pittsburgh Pirates aren't going to trade Skeens.
Hypothetical.
Yes.
Yeah, heartbreaking. probably. Yeah. It's Paul Skeens.
I would never trade him for Skeens. Yes.
I mean, here's the thing. Paul Skeens is like Drew Scoobal. Yeah, I mean, certain players. It's like even if from a financial standpoint, if Shohei's on the table for any situation, you're throwing the bag at them. Like, you can get my first round pick for the next 20 years, whatever you want, plus however much in stock in the company, in the team. It's just one of those things. Like, some players, I think you systematically, financially, morally cannot say no to. If that ever got out, like, oh, the Red Sox could have had, Paul Skeens, but they didn't trade Conley early, it would suck. I would never boo the kid. I hope he win every single game. It's not his fault that he got traded. This happens all the time. It's a business, right? You can't become married to the players because it's not something that realistically is feasible or can work out, in the long run forever. But I'm rambling a little bit. Anything else that you two want to add for this one?
Nope.
Right on. Well, that is going to do it for
one
your
thing,
bastard.
One quick thing.
Yeah, go.
It's WrestleMania weekend. All my wrestling fans out there,
Let's go. Wow.
WrestleMania weekend, baby. This is what we wait for all year. Let's go.
Dougie actually at WrestleMania 35.
Right.
He was there. He was under the cage. Yeah.
I was at WrestleMania 14. At the in Boston at the Fleet Center, Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Shawn Michaels, I was there.
People don't know this. As you're wearing a John Cena top, the hoodie, the reason why they call it WrestleMania is actually because Dougie gave him that idea. So if it wasn't for Dougie, we wouldn't be having it. But so hopefully the Boston Red Sox, who are going to be having they can keep the games going the way that they have been, in the sense of their last game, where we can keep the win streak going. The next series that we have, we're going to be facing the Detroit Tigers. Ranger Suarez is going to be the first start against Casey Mize. Scooble's going to face Bayo. Valdez is going to face Crochet. And then Flaherty is going to face Sonny Gray. So, worst case scenario, I'm praying for a split, but I don't know. Anything else you guys want to quickly add to that? Or do you guys want to call it? What do you think?
Go Sox.
Yeah, I agree with the split. And
Go
Rhea.
There it is. All right, that is going to do it for your Bastards of Boston Baseball. If you want to check out any more content, bastardsofbostonbaseball.com is where you need to go. Check out some daily fun articles from your Bastards. Everyone have a good one. Go Sox.